Grab your message notes if you already have it. I want to get right into the message here this morning, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17. And it says, when someone becomes a Christian, and there's a lot of probably definitions out there of what a Christian is, what a Christian looks that like. A lot of people, some people think, well, just a Christian is, or you just go to church, or you get baptized, or you just try to live a good life. But I love the definition that God gives us what a Christian is. And it says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. Everybody shout, brand new. He is not the same anymore, and a new life has begun. I really love that part of that verse that talks about that he is not the same anymore, because when you really, I mean like for real, have an authentic relationship with Jesus, you just are not the same you. That God changes you, and you experience what we talked about last week, that change from the inside out. And I love the last part, that a new life, a new journey has begun with the Lord. And I think what happens is many people enter a brand new year with a lot of expectation, and some, even like I talked about last week, some have lowered the expectations, but we have encouraged you to raise the level of that and believe in God for big things this year. But the greatest change that you can make in your life is not something externally, all right, meaning a diet or exercise, your schedule, or spending money, and I think those are good things and good goals to have. You need to do that, but the greatest change that you can make in your life is internally. Is what God is trying to do in you, all right? And so, because it's the internal part of you that has the ability to change the external things in your life. And so I think too many people in the journey experience kind of what I think I would call the resolution dilemma. All right, and we kind of talked about this last week. I think resolutions can be whack at times because we have our focus on improvement when God's not trying to improve you, he's trying to make you new. And so we've got to continue to grow with that maturity, grow with that character and understanding that God is wanting to take us along this journey. And this is something I said last week, and I'm going to trumpet it again here today, that 2016 will be the best year of your life if it is the best year of your life spiritually. And that decision is up to you. And so our encouragement right now, and we are just in the midst in a time of prayer and fasting, and God's doing some incredible things, but that we begin to set this year in motion and do what God wants us to do in being obedient to his call. Your spiritual life has the absolute ability to affect every other area of your life, has the ability to affect your family, has the ability to affect your spending, your diet. When you get God involved in the equation, man, it's amazing to see how God begins just to kind of sort things out, and things become a little bit more easier in the journey when you allow God to do what God wants to do. And so that's why I want to challenge you in this. And I haven't said this in a while, and I want to say it again right here today, that I challenge you to give us 1 year of your life here at Elevate City. If you would give us 1 year of your life, and I mean actually go through the process, go through a growth track, go through small groups, and connect in some of the outreaches and serve days that we do around here. If you'll do that, and at the end of 1 year, if your life has not been changed or impacted in some way, then I will personally drive with you, and we'll find a new church together. You can say amen, not a trick question, all right? But because here's the thing, I am confident in what God is doing. And I'm confident in what he's doing through this church. And we're not perfect. We're not the perfect church. If you're looking for that, this is the wrong place, all right? Because we all got things we're working through. But we're confident in what God is doing and the process and his power and how he's helping us along the journey. And so I want to just continue to take you guys on a journey today. And I want to talk about really looking at how the physical and the spiritual are connected. And I want us to kind of see both worlds, so to speak. And so I'm going to kind of work with you in this message today and show you that, because most people, it's amazing, I was kind of looking up the top resolutions that people do at the beginning of a year, and there's two top two that got just amazing stats and everything, and it was to get more fit, all right, and to quit smoking. Those are the highest two on New Year's resolutions, which I thought it's interesting, and I think it's funny, a pastor friend that we know, he was looking to get physically fit. He wanted to just drop some weight, and his wife, she's very thin, and he went to her, and a true story, he said, babe, how are you so thin? Like, what do you do that's just working for you? Because I'm desperate, I want to try it. And she said, well, I have a secret, been doing for years. even before we met. And he said, okay, well, what is it? She said, well, in the mornings, I eat like a king. At lunchtime, I eat like a prince. And then in the evening times, I eat just kind of like a pauper. She said, I just little bits, and that's it. He thought, He said, well, I think I'll try that. And so he tried it and went on the journey. And his wife had asked him several weeks in. He said, well, babe, how you doing? He said, no, I'm just doing real well. He said, but every evening, there is just this voice in my ear saying, long live the king, long live the king. He said, so it just didn't work for me. True story. And so a lot of us, I think, have things about our physical life that maybe we would like to change, even if you don't like it or you know that change needs to happen regardless. But I'm not just talking about weight and health. I'm talking about things within your physical life, parts of your life that are just, they seem to be out of control, where you find that your body is actually calling the shots and you are being led by your senses. And so Scripture talks about that. The word that Scripture uses is the word debauchery. And that word literally just means this extreme indulgence in your senses. And so you allow your body to make the decisions. It's amazing. Anytime you go through a fast, your body will be one of the first things you'll have to check. And be one of the first things that you'll have a little battle with, if you know what I'm talking about. But you have to understand that we are triune beings. And so your body has desires. It has sexual desires. It has eating desires. It has breathing desires. You got to breathe, right? It has sleeping desires. You also have a soul that is your mental capacity, your mind, your will, your emotion, your feelings. And then there's the spirit part of you that is most, that is like God and that will live forever. And all three of them, here's the challenge, want to be in control. One of them wants to always outdo the other two and take reins and take control. How many have been there and experienced, know what I'm talking about today? It's a real battle that I think many of us go through. And I couldn't think of a more proper message today than this one that we're going to talk about. And so I think that too many of us for too long have allowed our bodies to call the shots, and that we are driven or we are led by that. And so when your body is in control, it has a total disregard of the other two. And so for some of us, though, we are driven by emotion, and we have a disregard for everything else in our life. And some of us were so driven by emotion that we even can destroy our own bodies, which is why we must be led by the Spirit. Amen. Look at the person next to you. Say, we got to be led by the Spirit. Come on, look at the other person and tell them, we got to be led by the Spirit. So we got to be led by the Spirit, and it's amazing because I love Paul. Paul's one of those guys in Scripture that I find so relatable, because he had so much struggle and adversity that he went with that he breaks it down probably better than anyone, in the sense of that struggle within your humanity to want to do what is right, but then you fail and end up doing the very thing that you don't want to do, which he paints us this picture here in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 18. He says, I have the desire to do what's good. I want to work out. I want to say no to the images coming across my computer. I want to get my schedule under control. I want to quit drinking or smoking. He said, but I cannot carry it out. He says, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. Notice this. But it is sin living in me that does it. The word sin means to miss the mark. Sin represents death for our life, going against God's word. And it's amazing in this scripture that Paul discovered what is driving him in this place is his spiritual condition. And so he's figuring out in this verse, and what's so powerful, that the reason why I can't get my body under control is because the internal part of me is out of order. It's whack. I'm making decisions that I shouldn't be, but it's my spiritual condition. And then it's interesting. He goes on in the next verses, in verse 24 of chapter 7, he says this. He says, what a wretched man I am. So he's kind of beating himself up. And so in 2016 terms, he's saying, I hate myself. He's saying, I hate the way that I'm living. I don't want to live my life this way, but I continue to find my life down the same road with the same struggle, and I'm tired of it. How many of you know what I'm talking about today? and you've experienced that in your life. He's saying, I hate that I spend so much. I hate that I eat just whatever I want to eat. I hate that I look at pornographic images. I just hate that I'm dealing with these things. And he asks a question. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? How am I going to get out of this situation? But I want to pause before we answer that question and read on in this verse, because I want to dedicate this message to every person in this room who's struggling with that physically. That you're in a place today that you see that you are struggling, that your body is calling the shots, and you're frustrated and you're wondering, man, how am I ever going to get beyond this? But I'm dedicating this message to you because I believe by the power of God that you can be free and see all that God has for you. And you don't have to go down the same road that you've been over the last few years. That this can be different, that God can set you on a new direction, helping you make new decisions and on the course and the destiny that he has for you. Could you say a good amen in the house? And so he asked that question, who's going to do that? And here's the solution, verse 25. It says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The secret is I've got to get Jesus involved in every area. Everybody say every. So every area of my life, of your life, he's got to be involved in. And you know, it's interesting. The scripture says that he's a jealous God. Like, he don't want to be second place in your life. He's not looking for third. He wants to be priority number one in your life. And so the secret is we've got to get Jesus closer in our life. We've got to draw close to him. And it's interesting, if you have time to go read Romans chapter 8, it's a powerful chapter. I don't have time to go through it at all today, but it's about the life of the Spirit of God. And it talks about a person who is controlled by the Spirit experiences life and experiences peace. But a person who is controlled by their flesh, who is controlled by their sinful nature, sees destruction in their life. And so I encourage you in your own time this week, go read chapter 8. But I want to give you a few ways to notice if your body is calling the shots. And as we work through this, and if you're seeing some of this in your life, I'm challenging you, and I encourage you just to submit your heart and whatever it is in your life to God. And begin to say, I'm gonna make some new decisions with God today, and I'm never looking back. Amen? All right, you ready? All right, let's do this. First one is this, is you understand that it destroys you. When you're led or you're driven by the decisions of your body, that it destroys me. And as your pastor, I want to help you guys with this because I think this is so important. And I think we misunderstand this. First of all, the enemy cannot keep you out of heaven when you have given your heart to Jesus. So his goal for you, listen to me, everybody, while you're here on earth is to distract you, is to dilute you, pollute your life, whatever, however you want to say it, but ultimately is to destroy you. He wants to stop you and me from ever becoming an effective Christian. He's cool with people that just come to church and don't ever make a difference. He's cool with that. And so his goal is to destroy your life or to remove you from ever being effective in the journey. I think this scripture, I was reading it this week, and my mind just kind of just blew because I thought, man, this is so good. When you meditate on this, 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. That's just a word right there that we need to just think about, all right? Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be, notice this word, mastered by anything. It's why I love the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because we come out of one of the most indulgent times there is. You got Thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. You eat well, right? And then you got Christmas Eve has its own dinner times now, right? Then you got Christmas Day. Then you got New Year's Eve. Then you got New Year's Day, right? And everybody's on a seafood diet then. They see food and they eat it. You know what I'm talking about? And so we all just kind of experience that in the journey. And so, but I want to invite you, and if you're not on this journey with us right now, over the next 2 weeks that we have left in this fast, to join us. Join us. And I want to encourage you to set aside anything that you are currently seeing in your life that's mastering you, and set it aside and give that time or give that over to God and focus on him. And I'm just telling you, whenever God does something corporately, he wants to do something individually. So God is calling us as a church higher. He's calling us as a church to more prayer. He's calling us in a time of fasting for a reason. Why? Because he's trying to get you and I ready for what he wants to do. I'm expectant. Scripture talks about being expectant for what God wants to do. I'm expectant. I ain't looking for my 2016 to look like my 2015. Come on. I ain't looking for it to be like my 2014. It's a new year. God doing new things. Amen, everybody? And so you got to live with that expectancy in your life. If fasting, that's the awesome thing about it. It doesn't always have to be even food. A lot of people get turned off. Well, I'm not fasting food. Well, we'll work with that attitude later. But fasting doesn't always have to be food, so relax. And in this guide, we put this together. There's different ways that you can fast. And so I encourage you to dive into that. But here's what fasting is producing and what it's doing. It's making your soul and your body weaker so that your spirit can be stronger. And that's what I'm talking about in this fast. And if you're doing any kind of food, you know your body's hungry. And there's some certain things your body craves, you know? And so I encourage you, join us in this journey. Let me give you this example. When I was kind of fifth, sixth grade, we used to play King of the Hill. Anybody ever play King of the Hill as a kid? Man, it was fun to a point when you realize, like, when you're the smallest guy out there, like I was, like, you're never gonna win. Like, I'm a competitive guy. I hate to lose. All right? I like winning a lot more, all right? So, yeah, that's just me. And so I realized that whoever's the strongest and the biggest always wins. And whatever is going to win in your life is going to be the strongest and the biggest in your life. So whatever that is in your life is going to master you. And I pray that it's God. I pray that it's his presence filling your life, not being full of everything else going on around you. Amen? And I think if you're in a place today and you're saying, well, man, I'm just happy with life and life is good and I'm just tipping through the tulips, baby, then I guess this message probably isn't for you today and awesome. But I just get to the place, everybody, where I'm so tired of my body mastering the day sometimes. I refuse for my emotions to dictate this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to allow my spirit to dictate the day and make me and help me make the decisions that God has for me to make. Can somebody say amen? And so we've got to grow in the things of the spirit and allowing our spirit to be stronger than any other part of us. Here's the other thing it does. It dilutes your witness. When you're controlled by the body, it begins to dilute your witness. And listen, all I'm trying to do is stir up a new motivation inside of your life today to be fit, to be spiritually fit. And so people have asked before, you mean, Pastor, man, people looking at my life, watching me? Yeah, they are. And then I sometimes have heard, well, they don't need to judge me. They don't need to judge me. You know, they need to worry about them, not worry about me. But the problem is, that attitude is so far from Scripture, it's not even funny. You know what Jesus said? He said, let your light shine before men so they see your good deeds and so that they will glorify God, your God, in heaven by watching you walk. And I think we ought to live a life so attractive for God that people want what you have, that they see you different. That you're not partaking with the jokes going on at work or in school. And you're saying, you know, I'm not going to live my life that way. So I'm going to do. I'm going to set my life on the course that God has for me. And God always, listen to me, always intended for you to be an ambassador for him. Let me say it this way. He always intended for you to be a billboard to represent him everywhere you go. It's always been God's intention. That people watch your walk and that you will lead them in that way. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, we are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. I challenge you to be that man, that woman, that young person. When people look at you, they say, man, what's different about you? Like, man, I heard what you just went through. But man, how do you have peace? How can you still laugh? And you get the opportunity to share about your faith in the God that you serve. Amen? I mean, live a life, everybody, so attractive. I mean, that's one of the greatest compliments you and I could ever, ever get is when people come up and say, man, why are you so happy all the time? You always got a smile on your face. Why? You know, and give them the hope and tell them about the hope that's in you that is in Jesus. Y'all hear? Amen? Reminds me of a story. I haven't told this in a long time. It's one of my favorite stories to tell. A man by the name of Horatio Spafford. Horatio was an incredible man of God. His family believed in God. He had four girls and one son. At the age of four, he and his wife lost their son, their four-year-old, to scarlet fever. And he was a businessman, very successful entrepreneur in his day, owned a lot of real estate in Chicago. And his family went through the great Chicago fire of 1871. If you're a history buff, you might know that. If not, there you go, all right? And so he went through this time and lost everything they owned to this fire. It was unprecedented. And so afterwards, some time afterwards, they had just kind of gathered their thoughts and just kind of began to get back in the journey and just refocus their strengths and just rebuild again. And so afterwards, they decided they're going to take a vacation. I think after that, I'd take a vacation too, Lord have mercy. And so, but their plan was to, in that time, there was no air travel, so they had to travel by boat. And so the plan was for the family to go on a big ship in that time and to travel to the Europe area for a vacation. So they're getting ready to leave when Horatio was called to an emergency meeting. So he had to stay back, and he told his wife and his four girls, he said, hey, I want you guys to go ahead and go on, and then I'll meet you over there. I'll grab the next boat that heads out later, and then I'll meet you there. And so, unbeknownst to Horatio during that time, during that meeting, his wife and four girls, they boarded that boat, and as they sailed across the Atlantic, they collided with another ship. And the boat that Horatio's wife and four girls were on capsized and ended up sinking. And that day, Horatio's wife was able to survive but lost all four of their daughters. And so his wife gets over to the Europe area and sends a telegram in that time, and all was on it was two words, and she just said, saved alone. And so he knew exactly what that meant, that his wife was the only one that survived that crash, that the wreckage of what happened with those boats. And so he took the next boat out, and the captain goes on the speaker and says, this is the area where this wreckage occurred. We're going to take time. And Horatio asked if they could spend a little extra time just hanging in that area. And the captain said, absolutely. And a powerful moment took place as Horatio was thinking about the loss of his four girls who was now below the sea. And they said he stood at the rail just looking out over the ocean, but then he drew his attention right beneath the water, beneath the boat there. And he grabbed the rail and just kind of stood over the rail, and just up out of his heart and out of his mouth, he declared that when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And that song Horatio Spafford wrote, many of you may know that, many of you may not know that, but that's a hymn that's been sung in the church for over 100 years. And it's still being sung. But you know what? What's powerful is this guy Horatio wrote it literally as a testimony of God can take someone like him and his wife through the tragedies of losing five children in their time. I cannot imagine. But how God can take a life and still use them to be a billboard for God and who he is, and declare his love and declare his awesomeness even through the midst of tragedy, that our God is faithful and God kept them. And it used that song all over the world to be a testimony and ministers still to people this very day. And I think it's awesome to see that. And my hope is I pray that you and I will see ourselves that way, that no matter what we face and what goes on, God is going to get the glory. Amen? Amen, everybody? And so I want us to encourage you to make the decision that I refuse to be mastered by my emotions. And here's the last one of this part is when you're led by your body, that it dishonors God. When the body is in control, it dishonors God. You got to remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that in a few minutes. But you have to realize there's nothing holy about this building. Like, I know people have thought that for years, but there is nothing holy about this building, this auditorium, any auditorium. In the Old Testament times, God dwelt in buildings, but you have to understand in the New Testament day that God dwells in you. What if we started seeing our life and our bodies truly as what Scripture says, as His sanctuary? Seeing ourselves that God is in us, His holiness moving in us and through us, and we start treating our bodies and honoring it like God wants us to do. 1 Corinthians says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never." And so I want to call us to a new level of fitness. That's why we've called it that in this message today, new fitness, that we grow in spiritual fitness with God. It's not about going to a gym and getting fit. It's about making our bodies fit in a new spiritual way that God wants. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth." Meaning this, in your house, you have paper plates and some fine china, and you treat them differently, all right? That's kind of how that's saying it. "And some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these," meaning being a paper plate, treating yourself like you aren't a holy temple of God, all right? You wouldn't do the things you do if you would see it differently, that you are the temple of God. "He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit." Everybody say fit. "For the master's use and prepared unto every good work." So I'm calling us to that place of spiritual fitness. Y'all remember that old song, "Let's Get Physical"? You remember that? Let's get spiritual. Come on, let's be led by the Spirit. Amen. And 1 Timothy 4, it says this, verse 8, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And so last week, what I did is I gave you some questions to look at to just kind of gauge where you're at and see if you're spiritually fit, seeing how you're doing in the journey. And so today, I want to give you some questions to ask. How are you doing with your body? How are you doing with decisions that you're making? And so I want to give you some principles, spiritual principles that'll help you get physically fit. All right, y'all ready for this? All right, like five of you are ready, but how about the rest of y'all? Y'all ready to keep going? Is the Word of God alive? Is it moving? All right. And you know what? Let me say this. Your message notes, I pray you don't use them as like paper airplanes when you leave here. You know, we have binders, so ask our team for binders. You can put it together. My hope is you spend some time, but man, we're a church that believes in the Word of God, that we love the Bible, and I try to pack your message notes with as many scriptures as I can because we need the Word of God living and moving in us. Amen, everybody? All right, just trying to help. Number one, ask yourself this question. Am I offering daily? Because some of us don't know this. Am I offering my body to God daily? Some of us may not realize that Scripture calls us to actually offer our bodies to God. Romans 12:1 says, "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And so what I do is when I'm praying, and I really do my best to do this every day, is pray over my body. And first things I pray for is my mind. And this is just how I pray and how I give my body to God on a daily basis is, "God, I just thank you. My mind is as the mind of Christ. I declare that I'm going to focus on pure thoughts in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that my mind is not going to be dictated by what I see, but is going to be dictated and controlled by your Spirit and your Word that's living in me." Listen to me. Some of you are fasting things right now. Hear my heart in this. But some of you are fasting things right now that are impure, that should never come back up on day 22 in your life. Some of us need to cut some of those things out that are removing us from God and our closeness to Him. Y'all still here? I get this question asked a lot too. Well, Pastor, what do you do for sexual purity? How do you focus on that? First thing I do is I have to make a covenant with my eyes with God. And so I pray over my eyes and what I see. God, I give my eyes to you. Lord, Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Let my gaze be directly ahead." I'm not going to look to the left, God. I'm not going to look to the right. Because listen, I'm a man like anybody else, like any other man. And we all got temptation, everybody. You can be the Pope, you can be the Bishop, you can be whoever you want to be, you're still going to have temptation. You can be a man, woman, child, doesn't matter who you are. And so the key and the question is, what am I going to do when temptation comes, though? What's my reaction going to be? How am I going to handle temptation when it comes my way? And we have to respond. And that's why praying and giving your bodies over to God is the key. And we have to understand that. But so I pray things like that. Lord, I will set no vile thing before my eyes, Lord. If I got to get a filter on something, I'm going to get a filter. If I got to get accountability, I'm going to get accountability. Is this making sense, anybody? I pray, God, over the words that I speak out of my mouth. Let my words, God, be words of life. Be words of love. Be words of encouragement. That, Lord, you help me understand and make sure, God, that my words are few. That I'm only speaking love and encouragement to people. Lord, I declare that, Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. I thank you, Lord, that where my feet walk and my path are being led and directed by you. You've got to give yourself, offer your body to God and be led by him. Here's the second thing you got to ask is, am I withdrawing weakly? You know, most physical disease and unhealth and being unhealthy happens in our lives, and listen to me real close on this, happens because we violate the Sabbath. You know, I'm so thankful for my pastors. You know, several months ago, one of my pastors came in and he was talking to me, ministered with us, and he looked at my schedule and he said, "Your schedule is ridiculous. It's out of whack. When do you rest?" And I realized after he called me on the carpet, he said, "Pastor," he said, "Kyle, listen." He didn't even say pastor. He said, "Kyle." He said, "You need to repent." He said, you violated the Sabbath. You're not resting. You will not make it with this kind of schedule." It was the greatest words of encouragement I've ever needed to hear in my life and set me free. And I just said, "Man, God, I just repent for not honoring the Sabbath." And people may laugh or think that's, no. What it is wise. What it is wisdom. You want to be in this for the long haul, you better know how to rest. And we got to be a people that lead out of rest, because I'm telling you, there were days and moments before he had talked to me about that I'm thinking, man, it's just 20,000 things on your mind. And you can't lead your life with 20,000 things on your mind. And so you got to know how to rest and how to lead out of rest. And it's good preaching. I don't know if it's helping anybody or not. But I'm having fun up here, whether you are or not, all right? You know, it's something that came to me this weekend is, did you realize that you can microwave Pop-Tarts? Like, this is a revelation to me this week. Totally serious. Had no idea. Like, I always, you know, when I had Pop-Tarts, I put it in the toaster. And, you know, it was like 30 seconds. And, you know, now you can put Pop-Tarts in a microwave and microwave it for 3 seconds and it's done. I'm thinking, man, don't we have 30 seconds in our life to microwave some Pop-Tarts, you know? And I was just thinking this week, if you're microwaving Pop-Tarts, your life might be out of control. I'm just saying. It just might be, all right? That's funny. I don't care what you say. Isaiah chapter 58 says this: "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call," listen, man, this is so good. "If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." Man, the last part, the mouth of the Lord, God is saying, pay attention to this. Pay attention. We live such a fast-paced life. It's not, we don't just need to grab the first thing that goes. We need to honor the Sabbath and know how to rest well. Number three, am I living purposefully? For people that may not know why you're on this planet, but you want to grow, you got to find your why. You got to find why God made you. And that's part of our heart through Growth Track. We have it today, 201, happening right after this service. Lunch, childcare provided for you. But that's our heart, is that you find your why. Not only is it an opportunity, our Growth Track, to discover vision and where we're going as a church, but you need to know where you're going in your life. You need to have vision for the journey. You need to have direction for where you're going as well. And living life with a sense of purpose and knowing what you're supposed to accomplish before you get to heaven. Proverbs says this, 29:18, "Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint," or people perish. Another version says, 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. You know what that means? Like a man just having no sense of direction or where to go. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And here's the last one I want to give to you that you're asking yourself as you're just looking at your life. Am I honoring fully? Like, am I honoring God with everything? Am I honoring? Am I being faithful? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And if there's a struggle there, you need to submit that to God. And if you're finding things today that are mastering you outside of God, you've got to give those things over to the Lord. You know, I was thinking this week how thankful I am for God sending his son Jesus, for him sacrificing for his son for us, so not only we could be forgiven, but we'd be set free. We could spend eternity in heaven with him. Because I cannot imagine having to sacrifice my son Judah for you. Like, I just wouldn't do it. I mean, I love you, but I wouldn't sacrifice my son for you. You know, but how thankful are we? Think about it. That God saw to it that he sent his son Jesus to pay the ultimate price for you and me. There's no more selfless thing anyone could do. And 1 Corinthians says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Here it is. Listen. Don't miss this. Hang on, putting your stuff away. Just a second. You are not your own. Your life belongs to God. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I had an illustration up here last week. Had some of you guys help me with it that stood up here. Had a rope stretched from end to end, representing a small end that was red tape, representing the short time we have on earth compared to the thousands of years that we have in eternity. We only get a short time here, guys. Short time on earth. We only get one life, and you can spend it any way you want. But I'm challenging you as your pastor, man, to live your life for God. There is no other way to live but to live your life for God and respond to the call today. And God is wanting to draw you closer. That's what this is about. Would you bow your heads where you're at? I want to pray. Father, I thank you right now in this moment. God, and I just declare and I pray for every single person right here that whatever has been mastering us, Lord, if anything outside of you is mastering us and seems to have a hand or a control in our life, I just declare today that we will submit that over to you and give that to you, God. And Father, that we will make the decision to draw close. So Father, I just thank you. I just take authority over the enemy and I just declare you have no place in their life. And God, I pray that we would give careful attention to what you've showed us right here today, that we would surrender our lives completely over to us. As your heads just remain bowed and your eyes closed for this moment, some of us still feel like maybe we're in slavery. You feel exhausted, thinking, man, I've tried religion, I've tried church. But being a Christian is letting Jesus change you from the inside out. It's making you new again. And with every head bowed all over this place right now, nobody looking around, I want you to be bold. And if you say, you know what, Kyle, that's me. I need to make that stand and receive Christ in my life. Some of you may have had a relationship with God at one point. For whatever reason, you just haven't been focused. And hasn't been a priority. And God needs to be a priority again, and you know it. If that's you, I'm asking you all to lift your hands right now. Right where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Thank you so much. Come on. That says, man, that's me, Kyle. That's me. I need to respond today to God. I need to respond and give God my life. Thank you so much. Come on, I think there's a few more people today that need to respond. I'm going to wait here just for a minute. Thank you so much. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Says, man, that's me. Thank you, ma'am. Awesome. 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 People raising their hands saying, man, I'm tired of doing this. I'm not doing this by myself anymore. I'm going all in with Jesus. Anybody else says, man, that's me. That's me. Awesome. Thank you so much. And people still respond. It's awesome. Thank you in the back. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I just want you just to say this, mean this in your heart. Say something like this: Jesus, I give you my life. I give you everything that I am, God. Forgive me of following my own way. Today is a new day for me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for your grace and your mercy for my life. And today I'm going a new direction. Come on, church. Today I'm going a new direction. And I'm making a decision to follow Jesus all the days of my life. Jesus, I give you everything that I am. Thank you for your love. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together this morning. If you believe it, come on, guys. We bless you, God. Come on. We bless you, God.